appreciate it. If you would, be in prayer for Brother Sean. He's traveling back today from North Carolina, Brother Sean Bowie, that is. Romans chapter number 15. Romans 15, we're going to start in verse number 4. And you should have your outlines given to you. We're going to be on page number 2 in your outline. If we get to page 3 today, we'll praise God for it, but I'm not promising that, okay? So Romans chapter 15, starting in verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, that's Old Testament stuff, by the way, were written for our learning. Now, one of the things we talked about is the fact that you as a believer, as a New Testament born-again child of God, you should be striving to be in your Old Testament as well. All right? It can be challenging at times, but you don't want to neglect your Old Testament simply because, well, there's stuff there I don't understand. You will never understand it if you don't get into it and stick with it. All right? So verse 4, it says that written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort, we're going to talk really about two things today. You as a believer being a patient believer and being a like-minded believer with those around you. A patient believer and a like-minded believer, all right? So it says here that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded, there's that word, one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So, again, he's talking about really two things here. I guess you could say maybe three things. The first is the scriptures and what you can get out of it, all right? And the other one is, in light of the scriptures, you should be like-minded, all right? So, as believers, the thing that ties us together, and I don't know how to say this, but just look around you. We're all different, okay? Different backgrounds, different ways of being raised, all that kind of stuff. But the thing that ties us together is the Word of God. Now, I want to talk to you about this idea of patience for a little bit because we don't have any of it, amen? Most of us struggle with finding time for patience, right? I heard someone say years ago, I want patience and I want it now, amen? So we struggle with that because of human nature and a number of things, but that we're exhorted in verse 4, and I want you to look at it again. We're exhorted in verse 4 to get into our Bibles, because by reading the stories of those that have gone before us, we can learn to have patience. Now, I'll say this. Some people, it seems like the only way they learn is by going through something. And most of us have certain areas of our life where that's true. But I would encourage you, rather than making a mess of your own life and then going, oh, look at someone else making a mess of theirs through the stories and the narrative of the Bible and go, man, I want to avoid that, or I want to be more like that. And so he's exhorting us to do that so we can learn, and through that we can have patience and, as the Bible says, comfort as well. Let me give you this, number 13 in your outline, page number 2. One of the greatest examples of patience in your Bible is Job. One of the greatest examples of patience is Job. Look at James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5, toward the end of your Bible. James chapter number 5. And let me just say this. I'm going to talk about this in the morning message, but to the extent to which you get a blessing out of the Word of God this morning, some of that will go back to how prepared you are to receive a blessing. Amen? I know this much. If you walk into a room and you're looking for problems, you're going to find problems in the room because there's people. Amen? If you walk into the room saying, how can I serve? You'll find an opportunity to serve. If you walk into a place going, I want something from the Word of God, I want to be blessed, I want to get something from God, I want God to be real in my life, you're going to get that. When you walk in cynical and, you know, and listen, the Bible gives us a term for that. The Bible calls it the scorner. Someone that just kind of sits there going, bless me if you can, preacher. I gave up a long time ago on blessing those who think it's my job to bless them. Amen. It's not my job to bless you. It's God's job to bless you. And if you want that, you can get that. But there's a way of going about it. And so what you learn in the book of James, and by the way, James is a very, I would say, kind of slippery book in one way, in a couple ways, really. But one primary way is that James, while it is for us, it is not all to us. All right? And I've been through this before. I kind of want to go through it again. Keep your hand in James 5. Go back to James chapter 1. For those not familiar with this idea, for some of you, this is just kind of review, and that's great. But for others, the idea of rightly dividing the word of God is kind of a new concept, or maybe you've heard of it, but you don't know how to do it. All right? And the way to do it, I'll tell you, you don't do it by ignoring the fact you're supposed to do it. All right? So first off, the Bible says we are to rightly divide the word of God. Another error that people make when it comes to rightly dividing the word of God is that they wrongly divide it, meaning that they try to sliver and slice it so thin that the Christian gets about this much of the Bible and everything else is for the Jew in the Old Testament. Now, let me just tell you, that's not accurate either. You can read the Old Testament and get spiritual application for where you are right now in 2021. All right? There's devotional application to any passage of Scripture. I do want you to understand when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to prophetic passages in the Bible, you have to be careful that you don't apply everything to the believer, because prophetically and doctrinally it doesn't apply, not all of it. All right, and I'll give you an example of this. When you're reading the book of James, I'll throw this out. James chapter 3 talks about wisdom, and it is an amazing chapter about wisdom and the tongue and all kinds of stuff. Man, that's practical for your life right now. We all have trouble with our tongues. We say things we shouldn't. We gossip. The Bible addresses it. That's a great chapter about that thing. Then it also talks about the wisdom from the world and the wisdom of the devil and the wisdom of God and how they're different. You can get some out of that for your Christian life today. But then there's other passages where you go, man, there's something different about that. There's something that's kind of a little bit, it just doesn't seem to jive with the letters that Paul wrote to the churches. Look at James chapter 1. Now, I'm showing you this for a reason. Look at James 1 and verse number 1. I would say this, if you picked up a letter, my daughter Emma wrote a letter for Miss Lori, and I was supposed to deliver it Wednesday night, and I forgot. Sorry, Miss Lori. Hope you enjoyed the letter. Emma wrote a letter for Miss Lori, and you know, kind of like, hey, hope your legs feel better and praying for you, that kind of thing. And if I took that letter and said, man, I really appreciate you praying for me, Emma. She said, no, Dad, that's for Miss Lori. Yeah, but it's in my hands now. Yeah, but it's written to her. Yeah, but I'm reading it. Yeah, but it's still written to her. Does that make sense? All right, so the Bible's in your hands right now. Or it should be in your hands, all right? And as you're reading it, you just remember that it's all for you, but it's not written to you. All right, James 1, look at verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count all joy. And he goes into this thing about trials and temptations and suffering and the trying of your patience. As a matter of fact, look at James chapter 1, verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Now, that's something you can apply to your life right now, that verse 3. Is it not right? When your faith is tried, all right, then you gain patience through that. All right, that you can apply that to your life. Verse 3 is applicable, but I do want you to pay attention to verse 1, because there are going to be things in the letter that do not apply to you, all right? And they're going to be a foreshadowing of things to come past the time of the church in the Great Tribulation. Look at James chapter number 5. All right, now listen, you know what we learned? We learned very, very simply that in the Bible, God is always going to address one of three groups of people. He's going to address Jews in the Old Testament, Gentiles, or the church of God. If you're a born-again child of God, all right, that's you. Regardless of whether you're a Jew or Gentile, you fit right here, all right? And really what you find out is that the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, those are kind of the standard, if you will, for New Testament church doctrine, all right? It doesn't mean you can't get things out of other passages of Scripture, but you have to be careful when you're reading other passages of Scripture that you don't wrongly apply something to you. So we see through the book of James, there's just going to be this flavor of enduring things and being tried and suffering and holding on to the end. You say, why is that? Because a lot of it has to do with the theme of the Great Tribulation. You're not here for that. So you don't have to endure the end of the Great Tribulation. You ought to say amen there. All right? That's not a question. That's a statement. You're not here for that. All right? But I'll tell you this. There are things in your life that you could learn to endure through. There are some things in your life that are going to try you. There are some areas of life where you will suffer. And there's a template of how to address it in the Word of God. Look at James chapter 1. Look at verse number 13. James 1 verse 13. You say, why is there such an emphasis on temptation and trying and suffering in James? Because so much of it has to do with things that are going to come in the future when the church is gone. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, he goes on to talk about being tempted with sin and all that kind of stuff. But I'm gonna show you that throughout the book, there's this kind of this flavor, if you will, of that thing. Look at chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. Let me ask you a question right now. Is it possible for a person to be saved and to be rich? Okay. Now, if you don't have a lot of money, you're like, no. And you know what I've learned? I've learned that no one in this room thinks they're rich. They always point to someone else. But you have to understand, in a third world country, someone would point you out and they go, hey, you're rich. So it's kind of relative, if you will. I mean, to the rest of the world, we're rich. You don't realize it. Listen, here's how you know you live in a rich country. You walk down an aisle of the grocery store and there's an entire aisle dedicated to cereal. That's how you know you're in a rich country. All right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about, being in Africa and all that kind of stuff. It's not like that everywhere. But look at James chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever James is being written to, there's like almost no room to be rich and to be right with God. You say, why? Because in the tribulation, if you are a follower of the Lord, you don't take the mark of the beast and you can't buy or sell and you definitely can't be rich. You know all the rich people. You know why everyone's all this crazy stuff with all the mandates and all that kind of stuff. And I don't want to get into all of it right now. I'll just simply say this. You know why businesses and corporations are pushing it? They got one thing on their mind. Money. All right? Now, the reason I mention that is because what you're going to find is the world's getting conditioned right now for something that's coming. And boy, when the mark of the beast shows up in the tribulation and the government says you can't be a part of the economy without this, the corporations and their employees will get in line. And there's going to be a small remnant of people that say, no, I'm not going to do it. We see what happens to them. They're persecuted and they're tried and their faith is tried and they go through it. And they're told to endure unto the end, Matthew chapter 24. And James chapter 5, it warns us, listen, in the tribulation, you can't be rich and right with God. You'd have to give up your riches to be right with God. You see why? Because you would not be taking the mark of the beast. You would be persecuted as a believer and therefore lose all your riches. So he says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten. Now let me just stop this and say, if I were to read this, I could preach this to a majority of people from a practical standpoint in one respect today, and that is this. Very few people that have a lot and are wealthy are going to want to publicly profess the name of Jesus Christ because they don't want that to be their stain on their brand. All right? Now, I can apply it that way, but here's how I know it's not just that. Look at verse 3. Look at the end of it. Ye have heaped treasure together for the what? Well, this thing was written 2,000 years ago. You know what it was? Prophecy. About something that we're still not in yet. Look down, if you would, at verse 6. Why would it say that the rich ones are the ones that have condemned and killed the just, and they don't resist them? You know why? Because it says in prophecy, they go as sheep to the slaughter. Talking about those Jews in the tribulation and the remnant of followers of Christ in the tribulation that won't take the mark of the beast. Some of you are going, how does this have anything to do with Romans 15? I'm going to get to it in a moment, I promise. But I need you to understand, I'm setting the stage for what I'm going to show you later on in chapter 5 of James. All right? And what I'm getting at is this. This absolutely has to do with something that's coming. Look at verse number 7. What are they told to do? They're told to be what? Be patient. Therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, we've gone through this before. If you read the rest of that verse, there is no doubt the wording there has to do with not the rapture, but the second advent. I'm going to carve out a little piece of room right here, if we can. All right? And there is an absolute difference between, all right, the rapture. That's what you're waiting for if you're a born-again child of God. You ought to be living, I'm glad one of you said amen. You ought to be looking forward to Jesus Christ coming back more than anything else in this life. The raise at work, the bonus you just got, however many followers you have on TikTok for whoever that applies to, whatever else you're looking forward to in this life, nothing should get you as excited as Jesus Christ coming back. And if you're not excited about it, there's one or two reasons why. You're not living right as a Christian, or you're lost and the idea of Jesus Christ coming back just sounds weird and you don't like it. But if you're saved and you're in fellowship with the Lord, it should excite you. It should make you, man, he could come back today. You know. I've told this story before. It's just the greatest illustration of it, though. Now, there are times, especially with our boys, when I come home and everyone's excited to see me, and they're kind of like, now they love me. It's not that they don't love me, but they're kind of scared of what's going to happen when Dad gets home. Why? Because of how they were behaving before Dad showed up. You know why some Christians aren't excited about it? You know why it does nothing for them at all? Because they're not living right. They don't want to face the music. No, I'm going to tell you this way. If you're saved, you're going to face the music whether you want. The judgment seat of Christ is not my opinion. It's a fact. It's going to happen. Amen. And you either are going to be ready for it or not. Ready or not, here I come. Amen. And Jesus Christ is coming back, but this is for the church. All right? And that's what you're looking forward to. The second coming, which is what you're reading about in the book of James, the coming of the Lord, all right? Or, as it's called in the Old Testament, the day of the Lord, all right? That's the second advent, all right? The coming of Jesus Christ down to this earth to establish his kingdom from Jerusalem. You say, well, what happens right before he does that? The Great Tribulation. And the enemies of Israel gather around that one nation. The enemies of Israel gather around that one nation, and you know what they do? They basically say, we're going to wipe you out. And they've been persecuting and beheading. You know why beheadings? And by the way, another little fun fact for you. Now, I don't throw this out there. If you got tattoos, I'm not hitting you. I'm not judging you. But you know why that's becoming more prevalent in today's time than it was 50 years ago? Do you know why? To condition people to get used to putting something on their skin. Yeah. Now, some of you go, well, that's what the vaccine. Yeah, that too. Do you know why? Not only that. I mean, you think about that going on, that becoming more prevalent. But also in regards to this, guys, there are other things that are going on right now that are conditioning the world to be ready for what's coming, and they don't get it, all right? Do you know why the idea of digital currency is so? You say, what is that all about? Well, eventually it's going to be put right here. And you know what? They can steal your identity through, you know, credit cards and all that kind of stuff. You put it here, it's secure. It's with you wherever you go. I saw a brother of mine was talking to me about, a friend from Bible school was telling me about an advertisement he saw in a bank in 1999. And it showed, 1999, now they didn't have the technology like we do even now. It's almost 20 years, it's 20 some years ago. Man, time is flying. But I said it's almost 20 years ago. That's like 22 years ago. That's how you know you're getting old. When you go, that was like 10 years ago. It's like, no, that was 40 years ago, bro. That's not 10 years ago. But they didn't have the technology that we do now. And they were advertising that back then. You say, what is that? It's a conditioning for what's coming. Now, I want you to understand this. This, it comes after the tribulation. This comes before it. All right? And the reason that's important is because those who go through the tribulation are going to have to endure and hold on, not take the mark, not worship the image of the Antichrist, all that kind of, basically going to be ostracized. You think you're ostracized for not doing this or not wearing masks or not taking the vaccine or whatever else, it's going to be like a million times worse than tribulation. You're going to be an enemy of the state. That's what's going on right now, guys. And by the way, instead of getting all mad and angry, just go, thank God we're getting closer to his coming. I mean, that's the right attitude, all right? So what I'm getting at is this. What you're reading in the book of James in chapter 5 is about the coming of the Lord, all right? And what precedes that, what comes before that, is the Great Tribulation. We say, well, how long is that period of time? Well, look at James 5. Go to James 5, verse number 11. James 5, verse 11. Actually, go back to verse 10, sorry. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of what? Now listen, again, I want to stress this. There's a practical side to what we're going to talk about. I'm going to get to that. But I want you to see the connection with patience, the Great Tribulation, and a particular character that's mentioned here in verse number 11. Behold, we count them happy, which what? Like enduring to the end, Matthew 24. Ye have heard of the patience of who? Some of you are like, that's a job, I've been unemployed, I need one of those, right? The patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. You see, what does that mean? If you read the story of Job, how does it end? Does it end positive or negative? Positive. All right? The majority of that book is negative. Most of it. I mean, pretty early on, like chapter one, it starts getting weird. It's almost like you're reading it and you're like, whoa, this isn't looking good. And you're like, oh, it's going to get better. And like for 40 chapters, it's really bad. Right? And then you get to the end and God turns the whole thing upside down. Everyone on the outside would have assumed that God is done with Job. Right? Do you know what the entire world is going to think about the believers in the tribulation? What the entire world is going to think about Israel in the tribulation? Do you know what they're going to say? They're going to say God's done with them. Or there is no God. And the only God we know is the one that we see, the one that we're worshiping right now for 3.5 years. Why do you say 3.5 years? Well, let me show you what happens here. It says, you've heard the patience of Job. I've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. All right, now again, the example for someone going through something with patience is the biblical character of Job. Job is not an allegory. Job is not a parable. Job is a historical account of a man who suffered great things. Everyone around him thought he was unrighteous. He questioned some things himself. He had to come face to face with God. Let me ask you this. Do you realize what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation when Jesus Christ shows up to his own people? He's going to show them the nail prints in his hand. You know what they're going to do? They're going to weep. That's what it says in Zechariah. And the nation of Israel is going to go, oh, you know what they're going to do? Come face to face with their God. Like Job came face to face with his God. And then at the end of that thing, you know what God does? God takes all the enemies and says, hey, you know what? If you even want to have a chance at knowing me, you come through Job. Do you know what happens in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ? If you want to know God, you come through the nation of Israel, because the law of the land is going to be the law of God as found in the words of God, with Jesus Christ sitting on a throne in Jerusalem on Mount Zion and reigning over the entire world. So what is that? It's a great picture of something. And so what he's telling him is, look, if you want to learn about patience, learn from Job. What are we learning in Romans? Here's the practical. Now, before I get to the practical side, one more thing. Job has 42 chapters in it. You know how many months are in the Great Tribulation? Look at Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11 and Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 12. So Job has 42 chapters in it. You might think, well, that's just a coincidence. There's too many coincidences in the Bible to say they're a coincidence. You know that? The more you study the Bible, the more you realize it's not just a coincidence. Revelation chapter 11, look at verse number 2. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. Now, why is he saying that? Because the Gentiles are going to be there, and they're going to be trotting it down. For it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot. How long? 42 months. Look at chapter number 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. I'm sorry, Revelation 13. Forgive me. Revelation 13. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. Talking about the Antichrist, and there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue. How long? All right. That's that period of great tribulation. Now, in the book of Daniel, for sake of time, I won't have you go there, but Daniel chapter 12, verse number 7 talks about that same time. You know what it says? For a time, 1, and times, 2, and half a time. You say, what is that? 3.5. You know what 42 months is? 3.5 years. So what you're looking at is basically God is telling you in the book of James, here's a great picture of someone's going to go through the great tribulation, but in your life. Now, here's what I want you to get a hold of, okay? In your life, look at Romans chapter 5. You go through not the great tribulation, not a period of time. If you are born again, child of God, if you're lost, you will go through that probably in this lifetime. I believe it's more than likely possible. The rapture could happen right now. I want it to. I want it to happen right now. Some of you be like, you know what, preacher, you're going too long. You know what the greatest prayer you could pray if I go too long? God, would you come back? If you want to pray for something while I'm preaching too long, pray for that, all right? Behold, we count them happy which endure, amen? All right, but 42 months of the great tribulation is different than general tribulation that you go through in your life. The word tribulation does not always refer to the great tribulation, just like the word salvation in the Bible is not always a reference to individual born-again believers getting saved in the church today. Sometimes it's a reference to a physical deliverance of something. As a matter of fact, you'll find that throughout the Old Testament in reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is why when Jesus shows up the first time, many of the Jews of that day, they were looking for this. They were looking for a deliverer from Gentile occupation. Does that make sense? And when Jesus didn't show up and bring out a sword and wipe everybody out, they go, well, he can't be the one. Well, they ignored the fact that he was also going to be a suffering servant according to Isaiah chapter 53. See, that's the thing about us, guys. We like certain parts of God. There's other parts we don't want. I like the love and the grace and the mercy, and I even like judgment on your sin, Lenny, just not mine. I mean, honestly, we're good at going, God, judge them. Just don't do that with me. God, I want mercy, but Lord, they need justice. That's how we are. All right, so you have to look at all of it. And so what we look at in the coming of the Lord, you got the rapture of the church, you've got the second coming. So you know what's going to happen? As we get closer to this, the world doesn't realize it, but they're getting conditioned for the great tribulation. So do you know what you need to learn to do as a believer? You need to learn to have patience in your life and not lash out. You want? There's two things you can do to be happy in life right now. Number one, don't step on the scale. Number two, don't read the news, amen? Or watch it, or whatever else you might flip through and scroll through. You say, why? It's just going to get you all agitated. Now, I don't think you have to be an ostrich and have your head in the sand, but I have a feeling that most of us generally know probably too much of what's going on, and very little of what's going on in the book. So God says, hey, if you want to have patience and comfort, you do it through getting in the scriptures, all right? So listen, look at Romans 5. I'm getting somewhere here. I'm trying to get somewhere here, I should say. Romans chapter number 5. And here's the template for the believer today. Now, you're not going to go through the great tribulation, but you do go through trouble in life. Anybody ever go through any trouble at all? All right. Got two hands that went up. That's good. All right. Three. All right. You know, for most of us, now listen, I'm not trivializing anyone's trouble in this room, but I would say that the trouble that the average American goes through compared to the trouble that the average Christian in, say, China, Mongolia, Angola, Somalia, I could keep on going, Cuba, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Afghanistan, Iraq. I mean, really, guys, I'm not trivializing your trouble. I'm with you, though. My idea of a bad day is a flat tire. I was out here getting my stuff, getting ready to come inside, and I heard, and parts just rolling down the road. I thought, oh, that's a bad morning for somebody. I mean, and that is a bad way to start the day, no doubt, but it's not like waking up and wondering, is there going to be food today? Now, some of you are spoiled, and you go to the pantry, and there's food, and then you go, I don't know what to eat, because you don't like what's there. That's on you. That's not on God. But there's people that wake up and go, what are we going to do for food today? There's some Christians that say, turn off the lights. We can't let them know we're here. I'll be real careful with what I'm about to say, as careful as I can be. Last year was a test, and the test is not over. Some Christians were all too ready to go, no more church. I'm all for being safe. I'm all for doing things right. I'm all for it. I'm all for it, guys. I'm just telling you, some of those things are a test. They're a trying of your patience. And if you want, listen, you think, there. You know what blows me away? So there are some Christians that they got their doctrine all messed up, and they're like, we're going to go through the Great Tribulation. And I'm like, dude, you can't go through bad traffic. You're not going to make it, man. You know? So I know we're not going to be here for the great tribulation, but there's something to be said about enduring things with the right spirit and the right attitude. I tell people all the time, people want to get involved in ministry here. I say there's a couple things. I say the availability, humility, and flexibility. If you don't have those three, don't bother. If you're not humble and you can't take instruction, don't bother. If you don't want to be available, hey, well, I want to do this. Okay, well, we need this thing over here. Well, I don't want to do that. Okay, don't sign up. And the last thing, flexibility. You say, why? Because nothing goes according to plan. How many times has someone been over here and go, I didn't do it, but the sound's not working, or this isn't happening, or that's not happening, you know, or someone doesn't show up for nursery or whatever else it might be. That's just life. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't mean this as graciously as I can say it. Some adults in this room act like children when they don't get their way. And God is trying to teach you, it's not all about you. It's about those that are watching you. It could be your children. It could be another brother or sister in Christ. It could be a lost person at work. You have a bad day at work. We all have them. No one is exempt. But man, you being able to go through that with the right mindset and with some patience, understanding, man, I still have the Holy Spirit of God. I still have the Bible. I've got the promises of God. I'm not alone in this life. I can get through this. People watching that will go, there's something different about them. They'll look at that and they'll say, man, that's different. I need that. You see, God wants to make a difference in your life, but part of it's through patience. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse number 3. And not only so. You say, what's the only so? What does that mean? Go back to verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Are you a born-again child of God? Raise your hand and say, yep, that's me. I'm saved. I'm born again. I know heaven's my home and God is my Father. All right? He's saying that you are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say this. Verse 3. And not only so, but... when Paul says we, I'm like, who are you talking? Who's we, Kemosabe? You know, like he says, we glory in tribulations. Well, I wish I could learn. I need to learn to do that more. You know, flat tire, sick kid, unexpected bill, you know, problems with people. I mean, just go, okay, you know what that means, Lord? This is an opportunity for you to show up. I've been around some Christians like that. Frankly, they're obnoxious in a good way, amen? Because they're just happy, and no matter what, they're just like this. You know why? Because it's not based on the circumstances. It's based on the promises of God. So we glory in not the great tribulation, but look at it, plural, all right? Tribulations. It's a reference to troubles in this life. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. Now, you know what I wish would happen? I wish it was like a one and done. Like you go through one problem in your life with the Lord, you know, and okay, Lord, I learned a lesson. Hallelujah, praise God, no more trouble. That's not how it works. You know that. And once you learn one lesson, you start all over. But you know what it says? Tribulation worketh what? Patience. And patience, what? Experience. And experience, what? Hope. You know what most of us want to do? Lord, can I just kind of, I don't know, I go from here to here? And the Lord's like, no, here's the process. You know what they say in sports? You know what they say at work? Trust the process. Right? So like, even though you think, oh, there's no way it's going to end up the right way, because if it was going to end up the right way, I would have no trouble. God's going, no, that's how I extract more of my character out of you. If life just goes your way all the time, you don't learn anything. You really don't. I mean, if you ever watch some of these high school teams that play, teams that are like, you know, within the, you know, they're I don't forget which way it goes. Is it single A? Is that the low, the small school? Is that how that goes? Triple A? I don't, whatever it is. You know, they play all these small, and then they get to the tournament, and they get kicked, you know, 67-0. And they're like, we had all the spirit. We don't know what happened. I'll tell you what happened. You steamrolled everyone in your league because they were worse than you. You never faced any adversity, and when you got there, they pummeled you. And you know what life is like? Life is like that for the believer. Listen, the Bible says, if you ran when the footmen came, what will you do when the horses come? Paraphrase, but you don't understand what I'm saying. In other words, look, if you're losing your marbles right now, what about a year from now? I'm trying as best as I can. I'm not trying to be a doom and gloom prophet or anything like that. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you the date Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't know. That's not me. If you want someone to give you a date, there's probably 50,000 YouTube guys that are doing it right now. Find one of them. I'm not going to be that guy. What I will tell you is this. We're closer than we've ever been. And because of it, let me back up to the YouTube thing. I've watched a lot of people come into church because they have the right heart about YouTube. I watch a lot of people leave church because they have the wrong heart about YouTube. Yeah. YouTube's not bad. You understand that? It's how you use it that makes it good or bad. All right? So now I'm going to come back to where I'm at right now. What I'm getting at is this. I can't tell you all those things, but I can tell you this. We're closer than we've ever been. Yes. And what I can also say with confidence is I don't believe anywhere in history things just overnight go poof. It's usually a if you're a student of history, even a student of the Bible, you know that. It's a little bit at a time. What does it say in Song of Solomon? Beware the foxes that spoil, little foxes that spoil the vine. It's just one little thing here and one little thing here and one little thing here, right? Listen, as this thing continues to escalate, it's not going to get easier to follow Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you, you know, North Korea is going to invade. There in the book of Joel, I found something in the ancient Hebrew that no one else knows, and I'm going to tell you a secret. You know, if I did that, 50,000 people probably tune in to find out the secret from the ancient, you know, trilateral root in the Hebrew tongue. If I just tell you from plainly from the scripture, I don't know that, but what I can tell you is this. It's going to get harder. You teenagers, it's not going to be easier for you when you get to be an adult. Build your character now for Jesus Christ. If you think that you somehow, like, okay, I know exactly what you teens think. When I'm old, I won't care what anybody thinks about me because I'll be old and ugly, like all the old people in this room. Now, they don't say that, but that's kind of, come on, don't look at, no, not me, preacher. I remember being your age. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, sure, I won't care what I, because I'll just be old like the rest of them. That never goes away. And if you don't build that character and learn to have patience right now and learn to allow God to try you, you know what Job says? I shall come forth when I'm tried. I shall come forth as gold. You know what you want God to do? To put you through the fire and to refine you. Now look, some trouble we cause in our own lives, it's our problem. But there's some trouble that's inflicted from the outside that you didn't cause. I mean, Job, what did he do? Nothing. If I came to you today and said, hey, I got some bad news. Your house caught on fire. Oh, my goodness. You lost everything. Oh, my goodness. All those memories. Oh, and your kids were inside. Oh, my goodness. And they all died. Oh, are you kidding? Oh, my. And I just keep going on. And oh, yeah, your 401k, it's gone as well. And I just went down the list of everything that means something to you in this life. And I told you it was all gone. You know what you'd be tempted to think? What am I doing wrong? Now, listen. I'll give you an example. If the IRS came after you for like 10 years of not paying your taxes, don't go, Lord, what am I doing wrong? You know what you did wrong. Okay, that's different. And some of you are like, bless God, the IRS ain't constitutional. I'll never, okay, fine, whatever, do whatever you want. But when it happens, don't ask God, what did I do wrong? You should know what you did wrong. All right? Now, listen, there are other times in your life where things happen, you didn't control them. Someone gets cancer. You know, some preacher has some health conditions, gets COVID and dies. That stuff's happening. It's happening. Now, I got to get this off my chest. Look, if you ever send me an email about how the virus is a hoax, I'm going to laugh at you. And I might rebuke you. If you want to send me an email about how the government is overreaching and how their response is a hoax, I'm with you. Now, the reason I say this is because you got good men and women, believers, who have died. Not solely from it, but comorbidities, all that kind of stuff. But it's a real thing. You can't look at something you're not going through and go, no big deal. Not till you go through it. And when you flip the thing around, whatever it is, I'm just using COVID because it's on everyone's mind. And you can't go anywhere without reading it, seeing it. It's pumped in your head all day long. I'm just using it for that example for that reason. But anything in life, you might watch someone go through a divorce and go, I wouldn't have handled it that way. You don't know how you would have handled it. I watched my pastor when his first wife died of cancer, and I watched him go through some hard things, and I watched a lot of other people run their mouth and say, I don't know why he's doing that, because you're not going through it. It's easy to tell someone else how they should handle their trouble when you're not the one going in it. But when you are, and you didn't do anything wrong, you know, you're liable to question God and go, why is this happening to me? You know why it might be? I know this is a hard pill to swallow. It might be for the benefit of somebody else. Do you realize millions, maybe billions of people have read Job and have gotten comfort from Job's story and Job's life? Now, you know what that does? When Job, let me ask you this. When Job was going through it, do you think Job was like, Lord, I'm just so glad you're writing all of this down? And it's going to be a source of comfort and of patience for so many people in the future. And it's going to be in your words forever and ever. Lord, I'm just so thankful to go through this trouble for that reason. Job didn't think that way, and neither do we. So what the Lord does, he goes, look, I want you to go to your Old Testament. I want you to read these stories. I want you to understand these people were real people that had real lives. I want you to see what they went through. I want you to see what I got them through. And I want you to understand I can do that for you too. And that should be the source of our comfort and of our patience. Go back with me, if you would, to Romans chapter. Actually, I'm going to have you go to a couple places in your Bible. Go to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Some verses on patience. Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter 8. Look, if you would, at verse number 15. But on the good ground, this is the parable of the sower and the seed, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with what? I went out to the tomato plants today, and I got last night, pulled a tomato off the vine, and I know this much. Man, we've got like, I don't know, probably like 50 of those little tiny ones sprouting right now. And I'm going, man, it's the end. We're, you know, they better start popping it out right now because, man, it's going to get cold and freeze soon. And you know what I wish it would, the way I wish it would work is you plant them in June, and in a week they're ready. Doesn't work that way. There are several months that have to happen. The right conditions have to be in the soil. You know, the right type of the right amount of moisture, all that kind of stuff. And over time, they bring forth fruit. Can I say this? If you're someone that got saved recently, be patient. You know, when you're trying to find certain passages of scripture and everybody in the church is already there and you can't find it, be patient with yourself. Now, listen, if you've been saved for a long period of time, can I say this? Be patient with those that don't know as much as you know. You know what we all need? Patience. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. You know what else is we learn that patience is associated with? Not just those in the great tribulation waiting for the Lord to come back, but those in the church waiting for Jesus to come back in the rapture. Look at Romans 8, verse number 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know what the context of that is? The context of that is you getting changed, your body being changed. Look at verse 29. Into the image of his son at the rapture. You've got a body, a body of flesh that thinks the wrong way, says the wrong things, has an appetite to know things it shouldn't know, do things it shouldn't do, say things it shouldn't say, and someday God's going to fix it where you never do that again. Aren't you glad about that? Can you imagine being in a place you have to watch what you think, right? And everything you think about somebody else is going to be the right thing. That's just a weird thought, all right? I can't wait for that day. You know what we're doing right now? Waiting for it. Waiting for it. The Bible says, Jesus says to his disciples, occupy till I come. You know what that means? Be patient. Now, that doesn't mean just sit around and wait. It means be busy, but while you're doing something, do it in light of his coming back, all right? Look at Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And then go to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll probably get a couple more thoughts in and call it a day. Hebrews chapter 12. Is this making sense about patience, though? You need it in your life. And I'm telling you right now, as things heat up in the world around us, you're going to need it more and more. Hebrews chapter number 12. I'm telling you guys, things are not, I'm not trying to say this to sound doomy and gloomy. I'm kind of on the other end of the spectrum. I'm like, let's do this. Let's get it over with. Let's get ready for the Lord to come back. Let's witness as many people as we can. Let's get as many saved, as many disciples, as many baptized, as many plugged into the church. I'm not like, oh, well, I guess we'll just hold on to it. I want to get busy and do something. I'm looking forward to his coming back. But, man, I can't wait for him to come back. You know what it's going to take to get us there? Some patience. Do you remember when you were in high school and prom was approaching or homecoming was approaching and, oh, man, it's all that, especially the girls. You know, the guys are just like, you know, whatever, get a tux, and I want a pretty girl at my side, whatever. But all the plans and all the dress fitting and all the hairstyles and all that. You know what a guy does for hairstyle? Boom, done. I get up in the morning, and I'm getting ready next to my wife, and sometimes I look at her and I go, man, it's just good to be a guy. And she goes, because you got, like, all these different stages to getting ready if you're a female. Guys are just like, let's go, right? That's about it. And some, you know, and if you're married to a Latino man, there's a little more of this going on as well, okay? I know. I tell my boys sometimes I'll do this. And now, listen, now when I comb my hair, my boys' hair, if I don't spray them with something, they go, Dad, you forgot to spray. I said, that a boy. They're learning. They're honorary Puerto Ricans already. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. It's not going to get easier as a Christian as time goes on. If the Bible is right. Now, if the Bible's not, then, you know, we're going to get better as we go, and things are going to get hunky-dory. If the Bible's right, why do you suppose the Bible says there's going to be a great falling away? Maybe part of that has to do with the fact it's going to cost you something. And I'm not trying to get you into the tribulation. That's not what I'm saying. But people for years kind of thought, like, everything's going to be perfect and normal, and then the rapture happens, and then, like, oh, boom, all hell breaks loose. Guys, you know how you boil a frog in a pot of water? You turn the heat up a little bit at a time. We're going to be out of here, but the world has to be conditioned over time. And I'm telling you, part of that is you as a believer understanding that it's going to be harder to serve the Lord as time goes on. I'll say it this way. Do you think our society in 2021 is more accepting or less accepting of Bible-believing Christians speaking about Jesus Christ than they were 50 years ago? Well, absolutely less. Yeah, and it's going to continue going that way. So you know what you need? Patience. And when people treat you the wrong way, remember it's not them, it's the enemy that's inside of them. Yeah. You want to pray for them to get saved. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with what? You know, the Christian life is not a sprint. I watch people come to church, and man, I like people when they're excited. I do. I appreciate it. But when someone wants to do everything at one time, I usually get a little nervous. Because usually what that means is they're gone in 6 months. Because they're a shooting star. There's like, I got to sprint. It's like, whoa, pace yourself. Because you know what? You're going to round the corner, and there's going to be a hurdle. And you got to be ready for that. You got to jump that hurdle. You know what that means? You can't expend all your energy right now. You've got to build that energy up to get you the next thing. You see, what is it? It's more like a marathon. It's not a sprint. So what the Bible says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do we do it? Looking unto Pastor Adrian. Absolutely not. Looking unto my brethren. Absolutely not. Looking unto the hypocrites in the church. Nope. Looking unto who? Jesus. And the blessed hope, amen? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I want to show you something there. Notice this. It doesn't say for the joy, or for the, it doesn't say that he enjoyed the cross. What is the action word that it says there in relation to the cross? What is it? He endured. All right, let's ask ourselves why. You know why some people stay at a company an extra 6 months, even though they don't want to make sure they get vested for their 401k matching, right? I will hold on 6 more months so I can make sure I don't lose the matching stuff that they made contributions in my 401k. Happens all the time. What are they doing? They are staying somewhere they don't even want to be because they know there's a reward at the end of it. Make sense? Who the Bible says, he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Do you know what Romans 5 is trying to get you to think about? It talks about we glory in tribulations also, knowing the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Then Romans 8 says that we don't even know the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, and you say, what is that? Listen, I can endure some things right now knowing that if God blesses me with 80 years of life on this planet, you know what it's going to be in light of eternity? A blip on the radar. So if I can endure some things for him right now, knowing there's joy coming at the judgment seat of Christ, I can go, and I don't have to complain all the time. I go, Brother James, you know, let me just tell you about my trouble. Man, I tell you what, I'm going through it for the Lord, though. I mean, you don't have to do that. That's not what the Pharisees did. They fasted, and they let everybody know they were fasting, you know? You know, it's like if you walk into someone like, you okay? I'm shaking. Why are you shaking? Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Why are you shaking? I'm fasting for the Lord. You just lost your reward. You understand? You know why you're supposed to go through this stuff? You're supposed to endure it with patience, knowing there's a joy ahead. How do you do that with the right frame of mind? Go back to Romans 15, we'll be done. I'll tell you how you do it. The way you do it, in part, is through the Scriptures. Romans 15, and we'll be done. You want to have more patience? You want to have more comfort? I'll tell you one of the things, the greatest things you could do. Romans 15 Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through what? Patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Amen. You want to have more patience and comfort? Get in the book. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning. And Lord, we ask that you would, Lord, bless the word of God at the 11 o'clock hour. Be with those that, Lord, are traveling, those that are under the weather and sick. Lord, I pray that you would bless our church. Lord, continue to bless our church. Thank you for the faithful people that love you, love your words, and sincerely want to grow in their walk with Jesus Christ. God, I ask that you would strengthen them, that you would bless them. And Lord, I pray that the words from our Sunday school hour would be an encouragement. Lord, not so much doom and gloom, but rather we're excited. Lord, our time here is short. We want to make it count. And Lord, I pray that we would do it with patience, that we'd run that race before us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's take a break there. Brother Craig, we can take that to the nursery. And I can move this.